Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the Late Late Shift Studios in Steve's Extra Bedroom, it's the Late Late Shift with your host, Steve.
What is going on, everybody? How you guys doing? It is the Friday edition of the Late Late Shift, though technically I guess it is Saturday now, or it will be in a few more seconds. Where does midnight itself actually fall? Like 12 o'clock, is that like, that's technically tomorrow, isn't it? It's 12 a.m. technically, isn't it? So technically it's already Saturday as soon as the clock hits 12, I guess. I don't know. Hopefully you guys were okay with finding this and everything. I messed around and accidentally booked the show incorrectly. I booked it for midnight on Friday because I do the show midnight on Friday, but I completely and totally neglected to remember the fact that, oh, I need to book it on on midnight of Saturday. So I had a show booked last night, didn't even know it, and the shit didn't go down. So that's unfortunate. But but it was supposed to be this show all along, so I think we're all okay. And I've been posting links and stuff, like hyping up the show and all that stuff, like, it's coming your way, fucking blah, blah, blah. Please listen, because not a lot of people do. And, you know, I'm sending out the wrong fucking link, so yippee. But hopefully you guys were able to find it all right, and if nothing else, then I'm sure that you know, most people listen to it in the archive anyways. So you're going to be hearing it just fine. I kind of get the feeling. Hopefully. But hey, how are you guys doing? You doing all right? I am doing pretty okay. I can't really complain a whole bunch about anything. It was a day. I've been doing a lot of running around, you know, taking care of various puppies and whatnot. We have one that's kind of far away at the moment. I took it on. I charged a little bit extra for the gas money, but it's kind of far away. And so, you know, that's a thing that is happening. I'm basically spending 5 hours a day to spend approximately an hour with the dog, you know, if you really, like, take it all there, you know, if you like, you know, 30 minutes at a time and 30 minutes in the evening and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it's interesting, this whole puppy thing, but I don't really mind it. I love the puppies, so I don't care if I have to drive an hour to go see the puppies. But, so, what is going on, man? What is going on? How are you guys doing? Hopefully you guys are doing well, as I said before. And tonight, if you didn't know, we are going to be doing questions and answers. Old Q&A is coming your way. I sent out the Facebooky thing. I sent out a tweet earlier. Nobody replied to it except for Dave Leffler out there just replied about 45 seconds ago or so, getting a question in there. So I'll answer that one here in just a minute. On Facebook, I had a few questions that were just kind of novelty. I don't believe that many of those people even listen to the show. But you know what? It gives me stuff to do. But first and foremost, what I wanted to do was take note of the fact that today's kind of like, you know, a big day here in Merca, because this morning, pretty early in the morning, it was decided by the Supreme Court that gay marriage is okay. And I don't even like the term gay marriage anymore, I haven't really liked it at all. It's a descriptive term, I suppose, but, you know, it's just fucking marriage at this point, and that's officially so now. But basically what it said was that to ban gay people from getting married, to ban same-sex marriage is unconstitutional because it is inherently unconstitutional. And there's been a lot of hubbub about that, a lot of back and forth, especially where I live, you know, here in Texas. There's, I believe I saw something on Facebook in San Antonio, there's already people who have gotten married and stuff like that. But then in some areas, like my local area, they're turning people away from getting marriage licenses because they're like, oh, we don't have the right forms. We have to get gender-specific forms or something to that effect. And I kind of think it's a little bit of a cop-out. We've, of course, already had the prerequisite where, like, there's justice of the peace in the area who are, like, retiring as opposed to compromising their morals and doing their fucking jobs. You know, so that is what that is, which is just shitty. And the funny thing is that, like, if I had a suit or something like that, I'd just go out and do it because I'm ordained, so I could perform marriages all goddamn day long. And if, you know, people have a marriage license, you want me to perform your wedding, then give a brother a holler. I don't have a suit that fits anymore, but maybe I'll figure something else. Who the hell knows? But, you know, I'm thinking about putting the call out there and being like, hey, you know, I'm all for it. Maybe I could go buy me like a rainbow suit and just specialize in gay weddings and just like really flame it up really, really big. And, you know, the whole stereotypical gay fashion, like, you know, just throwing glitter and shit like that. But, you know, that would be really fun. Have you ever seen the episode of Roseanne where she's kind of the wedding planner for Martin Mull, Leon, her former boss and friend and shit like that, co-owner of the lunch meat restaurant that they do, the chopped meat, whatever the fuck it was. Loose meat sandwiches, the Lanford Lunchbox. She's planning his marriage to his boyfriend, soon to be husband, I suppose, though not legally under the in the eyes of the law, I guess at that point, because it was like 1995 or 6. But still, she plans it out and everything, and it is the most stereotypical gay thing you've ever seen in your life. Plus, drag queens walking around and like dudes and like, you know, bare chested dudes dancing to like Chippendale type guy. It just the most stereotypical gay thing you've ever seen in your fucking life. And it was something of a commentary on the fact that, you know, even well-meaning people, people who are like, I love gay people, you can still, you know, you have your misconceptions, I guess you could say, and you can still make broad generalizations and stereotype and stuff like that. So be cautious of what you do and you say, essentially. But, yeah, that was kind of awesome. And I could just do stuff like that. That would be super-duper fun, though, you know. Whatever. But I think it's a good day, man. I'm kind of, you know, it's shitty that everybody's all up in arms about it and everybody's pissed off. And all I've seen on Facebook, you know, in terms of like, you know, the local news channel will be like, gay marriage is legal now. And they have all the various comments underneath and everybody's like, the world's going to hell. And one person I actually saw posted a picture of a lake of fire and was like, Obama, this is waiting for you. And shit like that, you know, just really exactly what you would expect, honestly. If you don't live in Texas and you were to picture in your head, hey, how are East Texans responding to this? The overwhelming majority of them that are at least the ones that are, most people don't give a shit, okay? The people who are my age and younger especially don't really give a shit unless you've been indoctrinated and already injected with all this, you know, religious fervor. And I'm not knocking religion in this sense, but I mean the religious kind of religion that does spread hate to a degree, you know, like it should be live and let live, you know, as opposed to, you know, oh, fuck you, faggot, you're going to hell. That's shitty, you know, that's inherently shitty. So, but there is a lot of that around here. People who espouse that, you're talking about how Christian they are and all that stuff. In one breath, they're quoting scripture at you, and then somebody will defend that, you know, they'll reply to the reply or the comment on Facebook, and they'll be like, well, blah, 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 if you're going to follow that scripture, then, you know, anybody who gets divorced has to be stoned, and if you lie to your parents, then you're killed, and, you know, just naming off all the other completely hypocritical Bible quotes that, you know, just are applicable in that sense, I would think. You know, it's a fair argument to throw up against that argument, you know, of quoting scripture at somebody against gayness. And then they'll reply with, like, well, you're going to burn with all your faggot friends and shit like that. And that's not Christian. That's not Christian. Christian is to turn the other cheek. You know, you're supposed to spread your message as best you can and try to bring as many people over to, you know, the Lord's side and stuff like that. But at the same time, you're supposed to live and let live. Jesus wouldn't run around calling people names and shit like that. So that's a whole other issue we could get into, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about it because we do have other things to do this evening. But I just wanted to say, yay, Merca, for doing that, and boo a lot of the people in East Texas for reacting to it the way that they have. And it's not just East Texas. It's kind of across. Bobby Jindal's causing all kinds of fucking commotion and just assholes being assholes, man. Assholes being assholes, and it's really sad and depressing. One other little thing before we jump into stuff here, I went through and edited all the titles of all the different shows. So if you go back to our archives now and want to listen to a specific show again, or if you're a first-time listener and you want to go see, hey, I'm going to listen to some of these things, I've added very similar to Friends. You know, it's like the one with all the cheesecake. Well, what I've added is, you know, it's the Late Late Shift with Steven, episode whatever the fuck, 18, let's just say. This one, episode 22. And then in parentheses it says the Listener Q&A edition, because that's what I talk about in this one. So if you go back over the course of all the episodes that we've done thus far, you will find that they have the little thing in parentheses, and it'll give you a loose outline of what we talked about in those episodes. So that's just kind of a little helpful thing to throw out there for you as much as me, and you know, it's just a nice way to remember what the hell I've talked about. But this time around, we're going to do something that we have kind of done before. I've done the questions thing before, and I still have a questionnaire sitting here. I've been saving it because it's a really, really long one. It's like 500, 800 questions. Remember, we did it just the other day, and I only got about like 7 deep or something like that. Yeah, I got exactly 7 deep. So that's going to be something that we're going to tackle and jump into here and there just for shits and giggles, because sometimes that's just kind of a fun thing to do. I enjoy it. But this time around, I decided to throw it out to the listeners. So I got a few questions and stuff here. I'm going to answer your various questions here, okay? Okay, my pal Sean Jensen on Facebook, he asked me my favorite type of cheese. I don't think I have a specific favorite type of cheese. I like all cheeses, but if I was, like, just really jonesing for one, there's this one specific, like, smoky Gouda. I like a good smoked cheese. Not too sharp, not too heavy or anything like that, you know? Like, I'm not a real big, like, extra sharp cheddar or anything like that type fan. But a nice smoky Gouda, I would say. That's like, now we're talking. Now we're talking. You know what I mean? I could really do some business with that. So that is my favorite cheese, I suppose it is. My pal Eric out here, he says, I feel like the world needs to know this. What was Silverchair's best song? I'm not a very big fucking Silverchair fan, to be honest with you. If Silverchair was one of those bands that people went like nut bar over. People loved Silverchair. And I was just kind of like, okay, they exist. You know, they're a band. They're okay. I'm okay with them. I mean, I don't necessarily hate any of their shit. But there's not a lot of their songs out there that I was just like, that's fucking badass. And I'm not a huge Silverchair fan, frankly. They're okay. They're okay. But if I was picking one, my personal favorite Silverchair song is, you know, their first big hit, really, Tomorrow. That's a really good song. That's a pretty quality piece of business they got going on there. So if you're looking for Silverchair's best song, listen to Tomorrow and tell me I'm wrong. You know what I mean? Tell me I'm wrong. But anyways, moving on a little bit. We're kind of buzzing right through these, aren't we? So, you know, we'll see here. Oh, he also asked me, my pal Eric said, also, how awesome is Enjoy the Silence by Depeche Mode? That is an awesome, awesome song. That is easily my favorite Depeche Mode song. It is a great song. If you've never heard Enjoy the Silence, do yourself a favor and go listen to that. I pointed out to him that Lacuna Coil did a cover version. Lacuna Coil, if you do not know, they are from, like, overseas and the European nations. I can't remember exactly which one at the moment. But they're really badass. They're a cool band, and they have, like, a really hot chick lead singer. But they're just a really fucking good band. And they did a really good cover of Enjoy the Silence that I pointed out to him, and he seemed to have liked it. So, yeah, good stuff there. Rob Simmons, our pal Triple R, out there on Twitter, he says, how much wood can a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? Well, a woodchuck could chuck a very big chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood, my friend. I'm trying to run a show here, and people asking me questions about woodchucks chucking wood, damn it. John Paul Bannerman out there says, craziest experience at a wrestling show or concert. Let's see here. I've been to some pretty cool concerts and stuff like that. I went and saw Metallica at Texas Stadium back before it went bye-bye. The old Texas Stadium, you know, with the hole in the roof and the fucking, you know, Ring of Honor around it. Not the Ring of Honor, but you know what I mean. Just really, really, that was cool. That was a very cool experience. And at the end, like, fire shot out of the fucking stage that went out the hole in the roof and shit. And that was cool. But at the same time, I was, like, up in the stands. I couldn't really see I could see the stage just fine, but everything was teeny. And it was hot as fuck. Hot as fuck. But I was supposed to be going to that with a couple of buddies of mine, and one of them got in some trouble beforehand and couldn't make it. So I wound up, and he was also supposed to be all right. I didn't have a license or a car at the time. So what we did was, like, the day before the fucking concert, another friend of mine just happened to stop by the house, and he was like, what have you been up to? And I'm like, oh, dude, I'm supposed to go see Metallica tomorrow, but we can't get a fucking ride. We don't have a car. And he's like, I have a truck if you got a ticket. And I was like, sure. So we gave him the extra ticket that we had because my friend who got in trouble, he had never paid me for the ticket, so I just gave it away. We gave it to this dude in order to drive us to the concert, basically, you know, handling gas money or whatever, you know, because it was back and forth to Dallas, which is, you know, that's a tank of gas at the very least. So because Dallas is about 2.5 hours away from here because it was really in Arlington. Because, yeah, who gives a fuck? But, yeah, that was a cool show, but it was really, really hot. And I wasn't there with the dude that I really kind of wanted to be there with. I thought it would have been an experience to experience with my best friend. And it would have been really super sweet if we could have done it. But it didn't quite work out that way. I was still seeing Metallica. And it was the Summer Sanitarium tour. So it was actually Mudvayne opened. and then it was Deftones, and then Linkin Park played. And Linkin Park, if you've if you're a Linkin Park fan, or even if you're not a Linkin Park fan, you could find they released a live album / DVD. It's called Live in Texas, and it was that show. That was the show that they recorded for the live recording of Live in Texas that they released. So I was at that concert, if you've ever seen that before. And then Limp Bizkit played. They actually were headlining over Linkin Park. It was right there in that weird little area, like right before they switched places. And, like, you know, if it was like 6 months later, then Linkin Park would have been in the secondary slot as opposed to Limp Bizkit. But Limp Bizkit was still hanging on. They had just released that Behind Blue Eyes song, and it was hitting really, really hard. So they hadn't quite smacked into the fucking wall yet. Though it was, that was like their last hit, though, you know what I mean? So it was right around the fucking corner. But they did a great show. Limp Bizkit kicked ass and took names, man. That was a great fucking show. They were awesome up there. And then, of course, Metallica took the stage and played for like 2 fucking hours. So it was a day-long thing, but it was just hot than a motherfucker, and everything was too expensive, and blah, 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 that whole thing. It was fun. I saw Metallica again in California. I went with a former relationship-y type person with me, an ex. Let's just put it that way. We, you know, that's where she was. She was my ex-girlfriend. We went to Las Vegas. It was for my birthday. We went to Las Vegas, and during the trip to Las Vegas, we figured we would rent a car and drive to Indio, California, and go see the Big Four. It was, you know, if you don't know who the Big Four are, it's Slayer, Anthrax, Megadeth, and Metallica. It was the first time they'd ever played together in the States, and it was like a big deal. And at the time, it was expected to be the only one. They did one more show in New York, but it only happened twice, and I was at one of them. So that was pretty bitching. And that was a really fun experience, but it was also in a festival setting. It was outside, you know, and, like, we were really, really, really goddamn far away from the stage, and it sounded phenomenal, you know, hearing all these awesome bands playing shit. That was fantastic. But at the same time, it was kind of like, eh. That was when I learned I'm really not much of a festival-type guy, I don't think. What other shows? I mean, Cake. I went and saw Cake in Dallas, and Cake was fucking phenomenal. They were, like, exactly what you would want Cake to be. It sounded exactly like it does on the record. They don't do set lists. They come out there and just play whatever the fuck they feel like. So they played one of my favorite songs off their first album. They played it for the first time in, like, 15 years. And that was a phenomenal show. But the thing that always sticks out to me that I remember from that one was that afterwards, it was the nicest, like, release of people that you've ever seen in your life. Like, all the fans, when the parking lot was empty, everybody was stopping to let the other people go and shit like that. It was just complete opposite of every other experience I've been to when I've been to, like, a wrestling show or a basketball game or you know, a concert or anything like that. Everybody was so overly polite because Cake has a lot of really polite, cool fucking fans. Cake is a phenomenal band. I love that band. But my best concert experience, I don't know, I guess it's the craziest. It was at a little place called Clicks. I saw Apocalyptica there here. It was after this one I'm about to talk about, but I saw Apocalyptica there, and that was fucking amazing. If you're not familiar with Apocalyptica, they play cellos. They got famous playing Metallica cover songs on cellos. And that first album, Apocalyptica, plays Metallica on 4 cellos, I believe is the name of the fucking album. Fantastic. It's so, so good. Their version of The Unforgiven is just beautiful. It's fucking fantastic if you're a Metallica fan. And if you've never heard of Apocalyptica, listen to them. But then as they evolved, they started, like, they have a band behind them, and they play the cellos, and they would bring in singers from other bands to sing songs, like write songs that would actually have vocals. And so they had some pretty good hits, but they were up there with those cellos, like playing Enter Sandman or some such shit. And they were doing, like, the death clock, if you've ever seen Metalocalypse. They were just twirling their hair, that style of headbanging. These shirtless fucking, like, Finnish dudes up there just sawing away on these giant cellos, just spinning their long-ass hair. And it was so bitchin'. It was one of the most metal things I've ever seen in my fucking life. And I've seen some metal shit, man. But my best concert experience, and maybe the craziest, I suppose I've come to a craziest, it would be I went and saw Seven Dust, same play. Seven Dust was phenomenal. We got there kind of early, and we were able to literally be, like, right up on the stage. There was no seating. It was standing room only. And I was literally, like, setting my beers on the guitar cases right there in front of the stage. Well, on the, you know, on the amp cases, I mean. And, like, LeJean, the lead singer of Seven Dust, he was, like, literally, his mic stand was set up, like, I could have reached, I did reach out and touch him. I didn't like stroke his leg or some shit like that. But, you know, I could have reached out and like grabbed him if I wanted to. And at one point it was like, I was taking a picture with my phone and he took my phone away from me and like took a picture of me and my pal. And like, just, I got some great pictures of LeJean and the concert was fucking amazing. And at one point, they were playing Bitch, which is my favorite Seven Dust song by far. Bitch is, well, I don't know if it's by far, but Bitch is my favorite Seven Dust song. And I was singing along down there in the front row, headbanging and shit like that. And I was back when I still had long hair. And he throws the mic down at me. And this shirtless, like, frat boy dude beside me, like, grabbed it and goes, ah! And LeJean literally jerked it the fuck away from him and kind of pushed him back and stuck the mic in my face. And I got to sing the chorus of Bitch at a Seven Dust concert. And it was so fucking awesome, dude. It was just ragingly badass. Ragingly, ragingly badass. And if you're my friend on Facebook, you can go look in my photo albums and you can find my Seven Dust photo album, all the awesome pictures that I got at that show. It was just ridiculously fucking awesome. Ridiculously awesome. That is my, I've seen Metallica, I've seen, you know, The Big Four, I've seen Apocalyptica, and, you know, all these various other things that I've seen. Theory of a Dead Man, I've seen Hailstorm. Hailstorm was phenomenal. I fell in love with it. I didn't even know who they were. And then I saw Hailstorm that night and bought the album that same fucking night. Their first record. And I still have the shirt and shit, and I wear it all the time. But Seven Dust, hands down, just because of the experience, I think. Just being front row at a concert, getting involved like that, you know, it don't get a whole lot better than that, dude. But yeah, that was fucking phenomenal. So yeah, I guess that would be my answer to that question. Moving on, though, my pal Shane, he asked, my sister-in-law is getting married this weekend, so do you like going to weddings? What is the perfect wedding song? I do not like going to weddings. The only I officiated at a wedding. I was like the well, quote unquote preacher. I was the officiant, I suppose I could say. I did that. I went to a wedding here. I want to say last year, a couple of friends of mine got married, and that was fun. You know, that was awesome. There was nothing wrong with that. I'm not going to say I don't like going to weddings. I just haven't been to very many fucking weddings, and I don't do formal shit very often, you know. I like kind of informal gatherings. But perfect wedding song, I mean, at my wedding, at the second wedding, because we got married twice within a two-day span, we went to the Little White Wedding Chapel where Triple H and Stephanie got married. You know, in the car and that infamous Monday Night Raw skit back in wrestling time. But then the next day we got married in front of the Bellagio by the fountains and shit with the fountains behind us, the famous Bellagio fountains. And so I was there and the song, my wife surprised me with the song with Nothing Else Matters by Metallica. And I think that that was kind of perfect, just the strings at the beginning and everything. I thought that it was really, really quite fitting. It was really beautiful. So I would say, I guess that's my perfect wedding song. She came down the aisle to Maneater by Hall & Oates, appropriately. And then after we were done, part of the package that we paid for was that you get to pick the song that plays when the fountains go off to celebrate your nuptials. And she threw me another bone on that one and picked Fly Me to the Moon by Sinatra because I'm a fucking Sinatra guy. I fucking love Sinatra. I would say Nothing Else Matters. Fly Me to the Moon is pretty good too, though. But Nothing Else Matters, it's hard to beat, dude. But then again, I'm a Metallica guy. John Paul Bannerman ignored my call for non-wrestling questions and said, do you watch Lucha Underground? If so, who are your three favorite wrestlers to watch? I don't watch Lucha Underground, so I can't really answer that one. I'm sure it's fine, but eh. Seth A. Porterfield says, what is your favorite version of Batman? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much of a Batman fan are you? If magically forced, which would you give up, Batman or WWE? Basically, talk about Batman. I don't have enough time left to appropriately talk about Batman because I'm a Batman fucking freak. And we're down to about 6 minutes here because my fucking Seven Dust story went on too long. That being said, my favorite version of Batman is the animated series. Animated series Batman kicks ass on every other version of Batman that has ever fucking happened, period. Kevin Conroy is Batman, in my opinion, but that's just me. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much of a Batman fan are you? I'd have to go with a 7 or 8 because there are those Batman fans out there that are such big freaks that they have, like, their own Batcave and they've built their own Batmobile and stuff like that. Though that is with an asterisk beside it because if I had the money to just piss away on, like, turning an entire room into the fucking Batcave with, like, you know, actual fucking, oh, this is the outfit that Michael Keaton wore in fucking Batman Returns and shit like that. If I had the money to throw at that like these people have, then I would be that level of Batman fan. As it is, though, I just really, really love Batman as a character. I don't have a lot of stuff or nothing like that, but So, but since I don't have all that stuff and I haven't invested a shit ton of money in it, I guess I can't really be a 9 or a 10. So I guess I'd go 7 or 8. Though, honestly, I just, Batman's my favorite fictional character. If magically forced, which would you give up, Batman or WWE? Batman, I guess. WWE has given me a lot more entertainment than Batman, you know what I mean? And I don't follow Batman as frequently as I really used to. I don't have the money to really throw at comic books and stuff like that. Whereas WWE is essentially free, and, you know, I mean, I watch a lot more wrestling than I do Batman, you know what I mean? So I guess I would probably pick WWE if it came down to the two of those. And, you know, I don't like having that choice put in front of me, though. I would death. Give me the third option, which would be death. And Miles Jones asked me, does this smell like chloroform? Is that the appropriate answer? I think that's the appropriate answer. Okay. We're going to go over to Twitter here. We have my pal Dave Leffler, as mentioned. He said, hey, bro, wondered if I could get in a question for you tonight. On My Vegas on Facebook, which is the one game do the best at? The one that I always play is Sherlock Hound, I believe, is the name of it. It's like a Sherlock Holmes, only it's a fucking hound dog. And it's really, it's a pretty cool game. The bonus features in it are really cool. All the bonus features on that are pretty sweet. And if you don't know what My Vegas is, you should play My Vegas if you ever plan to go to Las Vegas. Because of all those slot games and shit that are out there on Facebook and on mobile and whatnot, My Vegas is the only one that gives you points that you can cash in for actual shit. Like, you can, if you get X amount of points, then you can cash in, and you don't have to spend anything for it. You can. I mean, just like any other mobile game, you can spend actual cash to get points. But if you just play, you know, you do this and do that, and depending on how well you do on the slots that evening, you can make some points and stuff. But you can cash them in for, like, room at the Bellagio or fucking free buffet or tickets to this show or, hell, now you could even get flights and shit like that. You know, it takes a lot of fucking points. They even have, you can get Royal Caribbean cruises and shit on there now. Like, again, it takes a fucking lot of points, but still, you know, you're essentially just playing a game on Facebook and getting this shit. So, you know, if you got the free time, fucking do it. But that Sherlock Hound is the one that I always kind of turn to. That's a good one. That's a good one. I dig it. I dig it, man. That's the one I've had the best luck with, at least. And our pal Cole out here, at Cole_kill, he's commenting on some various things that I'm saying here. Frog Stomp is still an awesome album. That was the only album of theirs that I ever really had. And I did enjoy it. I was just never a huge fan. And he says that Pure Massacre is their best song. So for anybody out there looking for more Silverchair, listen to Cole here. He knows Silverchair a little bit better than I do, obviously. So listen to Pure Massacre. That sounds like a pretty good one. I'll give that a listen here before too long, because I don't really remember that one off the top of my head. It's been a long time since I listened to Frog Stomp. He also says he's seen Mushroom Head a few times on a stage that normally holds 4 or 5 people. That was the same thing with me and Seven Dust, man. It was same with Apocalyptica, actually, because I saw them in the same venue. It's a pool hall. They get national acts every once in a while, but it's a pool hall. So it's just phenomenal. I also saw The Darkness in Las Vegas at a House of Blues, and that was, my brain exploded, man, because God damn, dude, I love The Darkness so very, very much. So very, very much. And he also says that weddings are awesome when it's not 150 degrees. That's a problem here in Texas because everybody wants to get married in the summer and shit like that. And it's just, there are no days. There's no such thing as a day that's not 150 degrees. You know what I mean? But thank you everybody for all the questions that you sent my way. I was going to tell a story for our pal Cold out there because he asked me about magnets. How do they work? I'm going to save that one for the next episode because it is a longer story and it deserves longer than the minute that I have left here because it's about to cut me off. I'm telling that story again, though. It involves shoplifting and fucking comic books and just, oh, God, I've never told the story before. And I'm looking forward to telling it because it is one of the crazier shit that I've ever gotten involved in. I'm gonna have to look up and make sure that the statute of limitations has expired on a few various crimes in the state of Texas before I can really tell the full thing there. Because it is an interesting story, and I usually don't plan ahead for these things, but next time that's what we're going to do. At least in part, I'm going to tell the story of my experience with some Juggalos and comic books and just various other things that went along with that, okay? Okay, sorry I couldn't get to it this time. I did fully intend to, but I just the gay marriage thing happened, and I wasn't just going to let that pass without at least saying something about it. So, you know, that is what that is. But anyway, hopefully you guys enjoyed the episode. We'll do another one in the future, and we'll have some fun with it. It is only a 30-minute show, so, hell, I can answer all the questions pretty much. You guys take care of yourselves out there until we do this again. Take care of yourselves out there in the big, bad, really real world, and remember that nothing is trivial. Much love, guys. We'll catch you next time. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.